1987. That was an interesting year. I remember it well. The world's population breached 5 billion for the very first time ever. The U.S. stock market had Black Friday, if you remember, down 22% in one day. I don't see Tay Mason, but if he was here, he probably would fall out of his seat. He's a big investor. Disposable contact lenses and Prozac were both invented and rolled out at the same time. Probably because husbands and wives finally could see each other and they're like, oh boy, I need to pop a Prozac. Good Morning Vietnam, Lethal Weapon, RoboCop, Wall Street were all the movies that were at the movie theater. And The Simpsons Show, believe it or not, began in 1987, which is when we can exactly pinpoint when America started to fall from glory. And I think it's still on today, if I'm not mistaken. Michael Jackson released his Bad album, and U2 released their Joshua Tree eponymous album. And I graduated from Land O'Lakes High School in Tampa, Florida. And that fall, headed to Ambassador College in Pasadena, California. And you know, despite anything you may have read on the internet in recent years, Ambassador College was an awesome, wonderful, and transformational experience. Nothing like it has ever come before, I don't think, and anything like it may never exist again in our age. We learned about the Bible and God's way from amazing faculty, and we had classes in marketing and foreign languages and businesses to boot. We had speech club. There were tons of sports, constant events, ski parties, dances, and great jobs, and tons of people our own age from all over the world, including a bedazzling beauty from Mobile, Alabama. And everybody was enveloped in a constant, aspirational, like-minded way of God. That is how I remember it. I don't think he's here today, but my speech teacher in those days was the Honorable Dave Evans. He taught us in Ambassador Hall, and that hall was famous for many reasons, but one of them was it has engraved in the stone on the side of the wall a famous saying from Ambassador College in those days, and that is, the Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. And so we took speech class under those very words. And if you have any complaints about today's message, you may see him. I learned Spanish from Dr. Levy. There he is. That's why my Espanol is muy bueno. And Susan was in that class, and I would always try to talk to her and impress her. ¿Cómo está, señorita? And then he would make me sit in the front row by myself. Do you remember that? Which was no bueno. But that was good. I had epistles and missing dimensions and doctrines and fundamentals from teachers like Dr. Ames, Greg Albrecht, Gary Antion, Dr. Ward, Dr. Albert, Dr. Meredith, Dr. Dorothy, and Dr. Victor Root. My club directors were the inspirational Ray Wright and the awesome Randy Duke, my first introduction to a Texan. I worked in postal with Mike Gutierrez's parents under Coy Colbert and Eric Shaw. And we ran these huge machines that were as big as this room that bound and addressed thousands and thousands of plain truths. We literally sent out the Word of God, the message of God with our own hands in those days. And I had other jobs in the kitchen, the library, and even plumbing when we moved to Big Sandy, Texas, where Tommy T and I put in, Mark knows him, tons of gas regulators all over campus without any training. A few of them were upside down, and you can imagine what happened. Nobody was killed, but they were certainly injured. Oh, that's another story. I was baptized in the Redwood building like my own father, by my own father. And then grad ball came, and Ellen did a fabulous job of creating a beautiful setting for our final dinner and graduation. Think, if you know the Hunger Games, Pan Am meets church campus dinner. And of course, somebody asked Mr. DeKotch to trick my buddies and I and tell us they were kicked out of college in front of everybody, and it was a big laugh. And then it ended. And having proposed to Susan, her dad told me that he would give his consent to our matrimony, which is how we talked in those days, kids, if I would just get a job. Oh, okay. So Susan headed off to Mobile, Alabama. My buddies George Hatch, Zane Peterson, Matt Gus, Tommy T, Tim Dick, Kai Hipko, Scott Thompson, you may know some of these names, Randy Hoosier, and dozens of others headed their own ways, 1992. Our Ambassador College experience was over. Our training was done. So I got into a blue 1984 Cutlass Supreme that Susan's dad had given me. I put a little key sweat into the old cassette deck, if you know what that is, back in the day. And I started driving from Texas to California. And somewhere in the emptiness of the Arizona interstate, as Belle Biv DeVoe sang, "Now You Know," if you know that song, I realized I did not know. I had no idea. What in the world was I going to do? And I learned then, and I have continued to learn over the years, how true those words were that were carved into Ambassador Hall: the Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. 2 Timothy 3:16 teaches us that God's Word is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. And we are to use God's Word as the foundation to build our character and our relationships and our lives and our legacies with family and friends and co-workers and the communities we live in and God above. God is the great creator. His imagination and his vision created this beautiful earth. The mountains, the oceans, the seasons, all the places we go to see when we go to the feast. He created humans with an amazing intricacies. And our most powerful microscopes can only predict what the subatomic particles that comprise our existence look like. And our most powerful telescopes can only peer into a portion of the vastness of the universe. God made all that is, and he wants us to make something of ourselves too. The Bible tells us so. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. What are we to do? How can we be like our Father above? How can we experience some of the kingdom of heaven now? Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also, but he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them." And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enjoy and enter into the joy of your Lord." He also who had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord." Now we know what happened with the last person. He went and hid them. And the master was displeased and took them away from that individual and gave them to the ones who had produced. Each of us has talents that need to be discovered and developed and put to work for our Creator. We are not all created equal, as this parable demonstrates. A young lady was born not so long ago to the Zuckerbergs. I believe her name is Max. We were all not born into that family, were we? But success is the product of diligence and outlook and work. and we will be held accountable for our effectiveness to ourselves, our family, our employers, and ultimately to God Himself. So how do you develop your talents? The foundation is always the study and the implementation of the Word of God, and we use that guidance in all of our efforts, not just on the Sabbath, but the other 6 days a week. So I'd like to give you a little help, something that I wish I had when I was driving in that car from Big Sandy to California. I'm very excited to be introduced, if Tim could put that on the screen, Foundation Outreach International's very next project, which is called Embark. We call it Embark, and we've been working on it for quite some time in our spare time, which we don't have to start with. So that's why it's taken a while. But a collection of young adult volunteers and other individuals in the church have come together and produced this, and we think it can be of great value to the young people in the church. We say, Tim is at the top of the screen. We say that Embark is success training, personalized success training delivered through 7 journeys of guided travel to prepare youth for careers as successful Christians at work, in their family lives, and in their personal lives. Now, that's a lofty goal, but it's meant to complement whatever it is that you as a family are doing, what you as a person are doing, what you're learning at school, what you're learning by participating in this spiritual body. It's supposed to complement that and continue to build that foundation that we talked about for success here at church, for success at work, and for success in your relationships. Our target audience is, if you can see that, Generation Z and the millennials. Generation Z, as an example, is all of those people that are age 19 and below. And that's 26% of the population in the United States. Their ranks swell by over 360,000 people per day. And when combined with the classic millennial demographic that you've all heard about, which are kind of 20 to 35-year-olds, that's half of the United States population. And what is it about Z? You can go out and look on the internet if you want. Just type in Generation Z into Google and a bunch of presentations will come up. But, you know, their frame is not, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's not the 9/11. Their frame is the financial crisis of 2008 when they saw their parents and their community struggle. And so they're intensely entrepreneurial. And they're given to social causes. They don't want to live at home like their millennial siblings that are living in the basement right now. All right? They are hugely into diversity. They're constantly online. Immediate information and response. 4D, Zoom and Pinch, high def 7.1. That's all de rigueur. They have short attention spans. They communicate with images. They multitask always, and they love food. Think chopped online while texting. That's Generation Z. And they're in our midst, and our future members and leaders. So Embark is designed for those that are in the very later years of high school, like a senior, people that are in college, and people that are in their first few years of work, their first few jobs. Anyone else can join too, but that is our main target demographic. Of course, all of our work is predicated on God's Word, and we have chosen as our motto for the Embark program, Psalm 78:72, which portrays the great value of having integrity of heart and skill of hand. Psalm 78:72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. You need both together to be successful. Mr. Armstrong founded Ambassador College, if you go back and look at a lot of the original books, on the notion of development of the whole person, being skilled enough in heart to serve the master, as we heard about a few minutes ago, joyfully, but also being skilled enough in hand to serve him well, to produce, to grow, to build. So let me show you what these 7 journeys involve. There are 7 journeys, and they each have their own label. The first one is called, obviously, hashtag now embarking. And over the course of, we believe, 6 months, young people, if they wish to participate in this, can go through the program. And each is guided by a personal, real-life mentor, which we call a travel guide. And these are volunteers, these travel guides, who are vetted, baptized members of the church, who have undergone background checks and a ministerial reference and FOI training. And we're, of course, looking for additional volunteers. They execute the guided travel remotely. This occurs over the phone. This occurs over maybe FaceTime or Skype, too. No one meets together in person. For those that are interested in being a traveler, participating in the program as a young person, you apply online, and you're matched with an Embark travel guide. And you receive instructions to prepare for your first meeting, which we call Now Embarking. That meeting includes a meet and greet, a little resume type thing, and then the expectations of the program for the next probably 6 months, if a little longer, that's fine, are laid out. And you review the program together, and you're mailed a packet, which is called a travel packet, for all of your materials. So that's what happens in the very first program. The next one, which occurs about 2 or 3 weeks later, is called My Swag. And here we review what you've done in the meantime, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, which is some self-assessments. The first is a Briggs-Myers personality typology test. You've probably done these in school before. There's a really, really neat version called 16 Personalities. And we use that. We've partnered with them, and they help you to assess your personality and all the things that you use and don't use as you interact with people. We also do a life values inventory in which the travelers take a series of assessments, and it tells you what you value and what you don't value, what you use as values and what you do not use as values. And this is used for self-leadership. This is used for stress and emotional management. This is used for values, obviously, that's the name of it, and relationships, and even occupation matches. And so you take these online assessments, and you come together. We also have a series of TED Talks that you watch throughout the program. You've maybe seen TED Talks. That stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And it's a vast collection of online experts giving short video vignettes of their area of expertise, whether it's a corporate leader or an academic or a philanthropist or even a millennial. And so you watch these and you take these assessments and then you review them with your travel guide. The very next program is called Hashtag Game Plan. And here, our travelers are presented with numerous resources around developing a well-rounded life plan. And they're asked to review, plan, and implement the curriculum. There's a whole bunch of elements, but I'll just tell you about a few. One of the first is watching a video from Stanford University called Design Your Life. The most popular class at Stanford University right now isn't their computer programming class or their social media. It is this class called Designing Your Life, in which the School of Engineering has taken engineering principles and applied them to what are you going to do to frame what you do in life and how you go about your business. And it's very interesting. It's very helpful. And that's how we get started. We also review, if you've heard of it before, Sean Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And if you're younger in the program, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And our teen consultants that help put the program together create all kinds of PowerPoints to review and some exercises to do. We also have partnered with U.S. Trust, which is the kind of wealth division of Bank of America, and they've put together for their clients a really neat financial empowerment program. And you go through it, and you learn how to invest and do banking and credit cards and when should you get a credit card and what's a budget look like, and you slowly start to learn that type of thing. So many people, I work in that area, so many people have no idea about all of those things. So we start that program. We also ask people to pick and read a book from the New York Times bestseller list, be it fiction or nonfiction, it does not matter. We ask them to visit a local museum, which at least in Dallas we have many, and do a performing arts presentation in Dallas and Austin and Houston. We have lots. And we want to cultivate an interest in literature and the arts. Again, getting back to being a well-rounded person. And finally, although there's many more elements, under volunteerism, our travelers initiate a Hilltop program. That's another foundation outreach program in which you are given money to lead a service project in your community. And so it's a bit of volunteerism, it's a bit of leadership put together. And you start to work on these things in the preceding months. So when you're ready, our travelers then begin the marquee center of the program, which is we call the 411. And here they're given the resources and they're given the guidance to engage in informational interviews. University of Stanford Design Your Life calls it prototyping. But you're basically just going to a number of people that you're helped to make set meetings with, be it a neighbor, a teacher, an employer, and you ask them questions. What do you do? How do you do it? What have you learned in life? What words of wisdom do you have for me? And I can't tell you how many young people have never done that at all. And if you do six, I think you'll get jazzed about it, and you'll probably keep doing it for the rest of your life. It's a great idea. So we ask them to do these informational interviews, which we call the 411. Now, Journey 5 is one of our more interesting elements. Here, it's called Out to Pastor. And our, again, teen consultants and my dad, who's a pastor in Cagua in Orlando, helped create a template for an interaction between young people and their pastor. Here we do have a live meeting at a Starbucks, a library, it doesn't matter where. But they come together, and instead of the proverbial, I don't know what teens think happens, but sit down and tell me your sins type thing. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is tell me about yourself. And tell me about yourself. And why are you a pastor? And what are you doing? And how can I help you? And what's going on in your life? And start to cultivate and develop a relationship. And if, as we hope, several hundred teens do this and interact with many dozens and dozens of pastors, we have now brought together lots of young people and their pastors for future relationships. And we hope that that provides a special bond and a special help to the church. Next, we do Don't Mock Me, which is mock interviews. We have the top 100 questions that you're asked in an interview. And we did this at summer camp. George Townsend and myself, our two boys, went to summer camp this year. And we did a Embark kind of session. But the very first thing we did at summer camp was the kids come in and we sit down and we say, welcome to Schmoogle, final interviews. You have been selected from all the interested parties around the world to interview for this one summer internship. So let's ask you a question. What do you think is the value of liberal democracy? And the room goes from, joking around to dead quiet every time. And that's because that's the kind of question they actually ask at job interviews now. They also, what are your strengths? Let me see your resume. They ask detailed questions. And so we help the young people prepare for that, and we do a mock interview on the phone. And so that's what Don't Mock Me is about. And then finally, we have a hashtag Get On With It, which is the seventh trip, and that's when we recap all the things that we've learned, the presentations we've reviewed in the TED Talks, the informational interviews, match those with your personality and your values inventories. We talk about the Hilltop leadership lessons from leading that program, what you learned from the books you read, the museums you visited, what's it like to have a relationship with your pastor, and what can you do now with this type of foundation going forward. And of course, it is whatever young people want to make of it. We're not going to make them do any of this or all of it. It is what they want to do with the program as presented to them. But we think that it will be perhaps more than they were going to do on their own. And it is for their edification and for their development. So we've cast a wide net in trying to put the program together. Again, Bill Burnett at Stanford University has this great class and tons of coursework that he has allowed us to use called Design Your Life. It's fabulous. It's real world helpful. And I think that it will be very instructive to people. He says, what's the most destructive thing that you can ask a young person? What color is your parachute? Which is what we've all heard all these years. What color is your parachute was like a best-selling book. And the reason he said that is because as a young person, many people, studies show, do not know what their passion is, their one passion, their calling, the color of their parachute. And that is actually a debilitating right, question to ask, and a discouraging question. Rather, prototype and see what all different kinds of things are that exist. Go and talk to tons and tons of people and try many new things. And so that's why we work with that program. U.S. Trust, obviously, McKinsey, Barna Group, and Ministerial Services for the Church, and of course our FOI board. So we've thought very carefully about the benefits of the program. Dr. Crystal Thomas in Mobile, Alabama, who specializes in educational design and implementation, is helping us to formulate our entry questionnaire and our exit questionnaire. Where are you when you start, and where are you when you finish this six-month period? And that will lead to an assessment of the outcomes. And if you're in philanthropy at all the big corporations, foundations ask, what are your outcomes? And so we want to frame those up very well. And I should, at this point, tell you that this whole entire program has come together because of FOI support and because of the individuals, many of whom are in this room, who have supported the program to its development this far. We also have numerous corporations that are already supporting FOI and Embark. As an example, Exxon and Chevron and Bank of America and U.S. Bank and Neuberger Berman have all provided ongoing support to fund and build these programs. So this program is the real deal, and it has passed the sniff test of outcomes. So when is showtime? We went to the summer camps this year here in Fort Worth, and we went to Strong Rock to present, and we're about to roll it out online. Interested mentors and mentees, travelers and travel guides, can go to our online site that will be announced shortly. And if Tim can bring that up, we'll show you what it looks like. Richie Averett has been hard at work on this. Here's what would greet you when you go to our website. It asks you, at below the suitcase there, going somewhere. And if you click that, thank you, Tim. It then asks you, going somewhere, do you know where you're going in life? And then we click on that. It asks you, could you use a hand finding your way? Let's embark together. And then when we go to embark, it brings up an explanation of the program, which is help for high school seniors, college students, and anyone starting their first few careers who want personal travel guide to take them on 7 journeys of travel to explore a world of ideas and advice built just for them. From thought leadership and programs at top universities and corporations, business consultants and life coaches, totally free program, personalized success training for work, family, and life. And when you click on that, you go to our little passport. Thank you, Tim. And there you have various icons you could click, but as an example, in the bottom left is Traveler. And Tim, if you click that, Traveler will take you to a full detailed explanation of the program. At the bottom is an application that you can fill out and submit, and you can begin the program. So that's what that looks like. And that is our FOI Embark program. Now, we hope that what it does is complement the work that is going on in the families, in schools, and in the church already, in the development of the talents of our young people, in this globally connected, ever-changing world. My son actually described that. I hope he doesn't mind. I'm going to read to you something that he wrote this week when he applied to Baylor University. He says, "The ideal university would help me develop my whole person. I'm looking for an environment to help me grow both personally and academically. This would be a place away from home where I could feel at home in a community of Christian faith," which is what Baylor is. "Faith is important to me and my family. Both of my grandparents are longtime Christian pastors. My father has a bachelor's degree in theology. My mother's also a graduate from a Christian college. I'm looking for a place where I can develop my character with like-minded students, teachers, and alumni as my new college family. I am looking also to receive a world-class education because I will likely work, collaborate, and compete globally. I have traveled throughout the United States, Europe, Africa, and Middle East and seen firsthand our world's connected, vibrant, competitive global economy. Today, people in India offer to design websites for anyone in the world for $25 on Fiverr.com. I have my own company and can source my fellow consultants from China, Europe, and even Africa just as easily as Texas. We're in Mauritius recently for the feast, which is an island off the coast of Africa, and our waiter at the hotel buffet was a USC MBA graduate. He was unable to get a green card and stay in America, but told us how he wanted nothing more than to return to the United States and put his education to work in the most vibrant, free country in the world. That man and billions more are my future co-workers and competitors. That is what we are trying to help people do in Embark. And I truly believe that there has never been a better time in the history of the world because of education and technology and globalization and demographics and all the huge agents of change that are going on for young people to avail themselves of opportunities for education, for service, and for leadership in their schools, their families, their communities, and in this church. We want you to be successful. We want you to develop your talents. We want you to produce and achieve and to humbly walk before God, always serving Him, and to ultimately one day be future kings in His kingdom. That is a trip worth embarking on.